You're listening to Around Comics, episode 214, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Witchblade from Funimation. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. And we're back at Dark Tower after a week away at Challengers.
We ended our vagabond ways. Yes. We wandered down.
It wasn't our part of town.
It wasn't our part of town, yeah. It's too ritzy over there.
No, they were great. They were great hosts for us for the James Robinson signing and then another episode. And Dal was a really fun guest to have on. Yeah. Dal knows his stuff.
He owns a comic shop.
That's probably a prerequisite.
It'd be better if more comic shop owners knew as much as he did about what was going on in comics, you know.
It does help.
Yeah, it does help.
But unfortunately, it's not the truth out there for a lot of shops. But you know, like you said, we have a richness of shops here in Chicago.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm Christopher Naisman, your host, and I'm joined alongside Mr. Tom Caters. Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. I want to tell both of our guests that I'm not like one of those crazy bingo people that have like, I got this glass as a gift. This flash glass is from a listener, Woody Myers, who sent this. And Mike Norton gave me this six pack of Pile Up. I don't usually show up with like my good luck tokens.
I'm ready.
Yeah, like rubbing the six pack before I talk. And then I got to flip the cup over. Like, I don't usually have this much shit in front of me.
Mike dropped off Christmas presents. He brought me a fifth of Jim Beam, which I'll try and measure it out a little bit. I'll try not to get through all of it tonight. And then he brought a Christmas cookie and brought you a six-pack of Miller Lite Tall Boy
camouflage cans, fall edition.
Where is it? I can't see it.
Exactly. Look.
Even if they're on a white
Where's
table.
Where's my beer?
Yeah. I lost it. I can't tell how big it is.
Well, our two guests this week are two new guests to the show. We haven't talked to either one of you gentlemen on a proper episode. But first of all, Tom Stillwell, you're what we like to call an alumni of the Windy City Comic Con.
That I am.
You are the head of Spinnerack Comics, which the Honor Brigade is the flagship.
He is Spinnerack.
You are Spinnerack.
I am.
And as we talked about a little bit before we got going, you're also the president of Unscrewed, which we'll talk about that organization and how it protects creator rights as we get going here. Cool. And our next guest is Elliot Serrano, who is a comic book scribe, but we know him more in the Chicago area as being the columnist for the Chicago Tribune's Red Eye newspaper and your column Geek to Me. So Elliot, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Let me let everyone know first that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by InStockTrades.com, where waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free.
Can I write a new version of that copy?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to punch it up.
It's your Christmas assignment.
Over Christmas, I'm going to write a new version. Something, you know, a little sexier.
Make it rhyme. It should all rhyme. Like a Dr. Seuss.
Like
a Dr.
Seuss. Like the demon. Wrote
it. Oh, yes. Like as if done by the demon.
That would be
Jason
awesome.
Blood, yeah.
I don't know if I could read it.
But. No, you couldn't. You couldn't. We'd have to get somebody.
A specialist.
We'd have to bring someone else in.
Well, I tell you, let's start with our first guest. We're going to kind of combine two shows in one, talking about what both of you guys do Tom, let's start with you and Spinner Rack Comics. Tell us a little bit about Spinner Rack and how you got started with it.
I was a bet. No, actually,
that you lost.
Yeah. For the next 10 years, you must make comics. Oh, damn it. I've been a long time comic fan, and I started to notice a trend a couple years ago. Well, I'm sure you guys all noticed it. A lot of extra violence, let's say the head punching syndrome, in comics, which I'm fine with. But as a father, I couldn't give these comics to my daughter, who I want to get into comics, and she's interested. So I wanted to work on some all-age comics, superhero comics for kids. And not kiddie comics, but comics that everybody can enjoy, kids and adults alike.
Nice. We actually, we've talked about this, you know, ad nauseum in the past. It seems that, you know, everyone's like, oh, we have to get kids in the comics. There need to be more kid comics. And you know, through those conversations, kind of realize that calling them kids comics is going to be the first thing that's going to drive kids away from comics. And it's really just about making comics that are all ages.
For
and we,
sure.
we have a sticky thread at the forum at Around Comics where people have gone in and listed different comics that are, you know, age appropriate or all ages. And it really seems like there are starting to be some more comics that are kind of all ages. So,
oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, the trend seems to be kind of going back the other way a little bit.
Well, people need to understand that, you know, kids comic or all ages comics are...
Don't say the K word.
I'm sorry. But kids understand a whole lot. And as a father, you know, sometimes you're talking, you don't think your daughter or whatever, your kids are paying attention to you. But they understand a lot more than we think that they do. You know, they understand about death. They don't need to see Black Adam rip some guy in two to understand that.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, it's great. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. But, you know, they don't need to know, you know, they don't need to see Ant-Man climbing out of, you know, Janet Van Dyne's nether regions to know about sex or love or any of that stuff.
That's how I found out about sex.
Me too. My wife was surprised. So, I mean, you can make great comics that are middle ground. Without dumbing it down for adults, and without, you know, trying to condescend to kids, so that's my goal.
Great. And Honor Brigade is the one that I think you're probably most passionate about.
Well, I'm working on a couple different things, but being a small publisher, you know, you have to watch out for money. You don't want to overcommit yourself. So
you mean like small publishing isn't an untapped mine of gold?
Oh, rolling in it. Check,
I'm surprised.
You know, it's all about the Benjamins.
Well, you know, we were surprised at the Windy City show at how many kids showed up to that show.
Kids want to love comics.
Exactly. And I was so happy for you because you had product to sell them. And
oh, definitely.
And I actually haven't followed up with you since the show. Did you have a good time
there?
Oh,
it was a great show, and I can't wait till next year. It was one of the best small cons I've been to.
Did you have a lot of kids coming up to the table?
Yeah.
Sweet.
What helps that I had the free crayons and the coloring books.
You know how to do it.
So, you know, I go, my wife's a teacher, and every year I go to her school, and I actually talk to the entire school about making comics. And the kids love comics, you know, but they access comics now through the video games. They know, you know, Ultimate Alliance and all
video
that.
Video games and the hip-hop.
And the superhero movies and stuff. But, you know, a kid can go see Dark Knight, which doesn't have a lot of, it has violence in it, but not, like, you know, gore. It doesn't have sex in it. You know, a kid, even my daughter, six, can be seven, can watch that, understand what's going on. The movies are accessible for the kids, so why aren't the comics? You know, they're going to pick up, which I think was a great comic, you know, the RIP storyline.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna, they're gonna be lost as we are.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know as an adult how much I
You're
was.
You're not old
to
enough to read that.
Apparently not. Well, I'll tell you let's switch gears here. We'll come back to Spinner Rack a little bit, but talking of Windy City, is one of the first chances that we got to really meet Elliot and get to know you a little bit. You were covering that for Geek to Me, and in a video video capacity, but you also write for the Chicago Tribune. For folks that don't live in the Chicago area, there is a daily commuter newspaper here called The Red Eye, and it's actually spreading out into the suburbs. I work in advertising, so I've got my Tribune rep calls me all the time telling me how great Red Eye's distribution is. But you write a column for The Red Eye called Geek to Me. Tell us a little bit about the column and how you got started doing it.
Well, Geek to Me is, as you said, it's kind of a geek culture column done for the Red Eye, since the Red Eye is aimed towards 20-somethings and up-and-coming adults or young adults. They thought that having a geek culture column would fit in with the overall mood or vision for the Red Eye. So I first started out actually writing columns for the Comics Waiting Room. And after doing that for a bit, thought I'd try to break into print media and approach the editorial folks at the Red Eye and asked if they were looking for someone who would be interested in something dealing with comic books and geek culture, which the Red Eye actually does cover quite a bit, surprisingly. And they recognize
that,
and they recognize that there is a market there. So
what the like $1 billion that the Dark Knight did at the box office worldwide, kind of, wow, there are people that are interested in this.
Yeah, and if people are willing to shell out $3.99 for a comic book with half reprinted material, I guess that would be another thing too. But
they have money to burn.
Money
these
to burn.
These people will buy anything.
Really. So
disposable income.
But exactly, that disposable income. But so, yeah, they recognized that. They saw my writing. They liked it. And they basically let me do whatever I want, which is really great. If it's it can be comic book related, any other, you know, movies, gaming. I just did a feature on the pinball championships that took place in Schaumburg, Illinois recently.
Really?
Cool. Yeah. And of course, with the Geek to Me blog that we have on the Red Eye site, I can basically do anything I want, provided I'm not, you know, doing a Girls Gone Wild thing, anything like
Rats.
That. So, yeah.
So there's no features like on tarot on your the stuff you have. Here's a really great comic.
No.
Well, you know, Tom is right in your market, you know, the demographic, you're a commuter.
Disposable income, will buy stuff just because I like consuming.
You ride the train to work. Do you read the Red Eye?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Have you ever stumbled on one of Elliot's columns?
Yeah, I didn't know. I never noticed who wrote it though. But
it's only has a big picture of me in the corner.
I put my thumb over the pictures of people in the Red Eye.
Don't worry, Elliot. I read it every day.
Don't worry, I read it all the time.
Now you've been doing a lot of video stuff. At the blog. So do you like the writing or do you like doing the video?
I like a little of everything, I guess, because right now the trend in journalism is towards web content and more multimedia. It's no secret right now that print media, as far as newspapers is going, is kind of on a wane. It's hurting right now. And
Did the bankruptcy, affect you at all?
No, actually, it's funny. Just before I got here, I got an email from the editors at the Red Eye saying that the Tribune's Chapter 11 bankruptcy will not affect my status, and I will still get paid, and I will still do all that. But I have to renew my freelancer contract by Christmas. They told me that just now.
Better get on that.
Yeah, I got to get on that.
And by the way, you have to renew
4 o'clock today.
The next 20 minutes. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's something going on here. They're not telling me. But with the multimedia, when I said I wanted to post a video and just get out there and do that sort of thing, they were very supportive of that. And when I said I wanted to go to Windy City Con, you know, they loved that.
Sweet.
So
do we. Good.
Yeah,
we're
awesome.
happy to have you there.
I've got the 10:36. I like to stick around and get my miniskirt kicks. Hey.
Come on. I'll tell you, we're gonna jump back over here to Tom. We've got a lot of different things to talk about because you guys are active in a lot of different things. I want to talk about Unscrewed, and we're big proponents for the Hero Initiative. We've always loved supporting them, and the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which is another great charitable organization.
Chris is a big supporter.
Not for you.
you always help with the hero stuff.
Sometimes,
but I'm very passionate about that charity, and Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is another one that people should be aware of, as far as helping First Amendment rights for comic book creators and for retailers and really anyone in the comics industry. But you are the president of another organization called Unscrewed, which I think needs to be very well known about by both consumers, retailers, and obviously creators. Tell us a little bit about Unscrewed and how Unscrewed came about.
Unscrewed is an organization that came about to help freelancers. Originally, it started off, there was a particular guy named Rick Olney who scammed an awful lot of people out of tens of thousands of dollars, and we're talking big name creators like, I won't say anything. I won't go into details about names, but big people, little guys, guys for 15 grand, guys for $5, $50.
Go to the You'll All Be Sorry forum at Comic Book Resources. That's Gail Simone's forum, and there is about an 800 page
got like a million
thread.
Hits on
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah, that details a lot of Rick Olney's business habits.
So to make a long story short, this guy kind of prompted us to realize that there is no better business bureau within comics. And for the readers out there, you probably don't ever see this stuff, but there is an awful lot of people getting ripped off in comics because people wanting to break into comics are usually young. They don't have a lot of business savvy. They don't have much experience just in life in general.
And they're tripping over themselves to get into the industry.
Sure, sure. And someone comes to you and say, hey, you can write my comic, you can draw this comic, and I'll give you 10% of all the profit. Holy cow, I'm all over that. And so they sign a bad contract, and they get in there and they realize, hey, there's no profit. So I just worked for free. Stuff like that happens all the time. And when they complain, they're told, keep your mouth shut or I'll sue you, and they don't know any better.
You'll never work in this industry again.
Yeah. And it's come to be that, and I've been told by big name creators that this is just how it is. It's just kind of paying your dues, and it shouldn't be. No other business that I know of, I don't work in a field where you know getting screwed is like the necessity of to get through.
Well, in accounting, the first day I showed up, they pantsed me and they mugged me.
Let's just go to you.
No. Yeah, there you go. I had to work my way up.
First, it was the underwear went down, and then the whole no.
Yeah.
But so we want to make the playing field a little bit more level for these guys. So the first thing starts with education, legal rights, what a contract looks like, what you should be asking for, what not to take. Our site has a database of creators that are, good creators and bad creators, reviews by other freelancers. So if you're offered a job and you're not sure who, where this guy is, what kind of reputation he has, you can go on our site and say, oh, this guy was.
So it really is a better business bureau for comic book
creators.
We're
trying. We don't have much of a budget, so mostly it's all on the internet and stuff like that. But we have raised money, and the money goes towards suing if we have to. That's the last resort. But education, helping a freelancer out if they're in dire straits because they haven't been paid. I remember last Christmas we were able to help a lot of people around the holidays who had been screwed and couldn't put food on the table. Because people really don't understand that, for the big companies, you have all these high-priced creators. Well, not high-priced, but well-paid creators.
Mm-hmm.
But for the smaller companies, they get by freelancers. And freelancers, they live and die by getting paid on time. And if they're not paid, mortgages go unpaid, food doesn't go on the table, they don't pay for their health insurance. And kind of what the HERE Initiative picks up for that later on in life. But we're trying to make it so they
on the front end.
Hopefully they never need you guys.
Sure. Well, it's for a young or aspiring comic book creator. Where on the web can they go to find out more about Unscrewed and find out the resources that you guys have available?
We are at unscrewedcomic.com. And we have a ton of links there to, contract law, how to spot a scammer, links to other sites. Like on our board is Colleen Duran, who is like the quintessential freelancer. She's been through it all legally. She knows the ins and outs. So she gives advice. We have legal. I worked in the legal field for 10 years.
Okay.
So we can give you advice on that, what to look for in a contract. We have forms on there. You can email us on there. It's all types of resources. Just it's all free for the asking.
I know one of the
don't go to Screwed comic. No, that's, I'm sure that it's messed up.
Yeah, and that's not all ages. That's definitely not all ages.
One of the favorite little stories that in several of the interviews that we've done in the past, I remember that we were talking to David Peterson, and he said that he was lucky enough that whenever he was getting started, that just kind of by this weird chain of events, he got to meet Guy Davis, and Guy Davis kind of took him under his wing in the contract mode of things, and said, "Hey, whenever you are at the point of signing your first contract or reviewing your first contract, let me know and I'll help you out, because I have signed a lot of bad ones and I know what to look for." So, I mean, that was an example of one guy who just got lucky enough to meet an established creator, where now you are offering a service that is there for anyone that wants to get started. So that's awesome. You hear too many stories of creators that, from everything. It's not just writers and pencilers. It's inkers and colorists and editors and anybody that is involved in any of the creative business side of comics. Because creative people aren't really known for their business sense.
And there's also
we're not that bright.
Well, it's
what
it's,
what
it's, no, not, right. It's not what we like to do.
Should I get paid?
I'm an art director in my professional life, and what I love doing in my job is getting stuff from mind onto paper or onto the web. I hate the management side of my job. It just doesn't. It doesn't fulfill me, and most creative people are like that. And you look at comics, what do they want to do? They want to draw a page a day and create a comic every month and entertain people.
Artists also tend to be really extroverted. I'm kidding. Well, if anything, artists tend to be, there's exceptions, but a lot, especially in a field where if you're freelance, you're kind of in a room by yourself most of the time, right. It's not like you can turn around and complain to somebody about your...
Well, there's kind of a stigma about it, too. I mean, once you get cheated, I guess people feel ashamed that they got duped. Mm-hmm. They feel like, I'll just keep quiet. Or they feel afraid that, like you said, you'll never work in this town again. Or you got to pay your dues. People will just tell you. That's just how it is. I was told by a really well-named artist that's just how it is, and it's not that big a deal. And I was like, you work for one of the big two, and you're telling me this. What about Joe Blow, who's just, getting $20 a page or whatever, and he does a whole issue of a comic book, and he doesn't see any money for that, So there's kind of that stigma about it that, you just keep quiet. And that's the problem. Everybody keeps quiet about it. No one ever talks about it. These guys thrive on that.
Sure. Well, it's kind of like, almost like a little mini version of Hollywood. You have, actors and
sure,
producers and people that are just, tripping over each other to get into that industry, and they will do, anything they can to break in. And unfortunately, comics has that as
in
well.
In spades.
Yeah, too much. So
it's like doing porn to break
in. Yeah. I was going to say porn. The P word.
Anyone will do anything to get in.
Yeah.
I was in college. I was young.
Yeah, exactly. Take your top off.
I didn't mean to draw the naked woman.
Hi, I'm Jamie McAlvey. I hate Karen Gillan. I want him to die. And you're listening to Around Comics.
Well, Elliot, we're going to come back over to you and talk about more of the creative side, which I just found this out. Yeah, bang, bang, bang. I just found this out tonight. I didn't know that you were a comic book writer.
Yes. Actually, it's a recent development, actually.
Have you been screwed yet?
I'm going to ask Tom to look at some of my contracts. I don't know. Yeah. Actually, no. The red.
That's what we do here. We make connections.
Make connections. Well, Tom, we're Facebook friends.
We are.
I know
Facebook
that we're
friends.
Facebook friends. So
tight.
We'll get there. Tight. We're tight. Right. We're brothers.
Get your hand off of his knee. No, I'm joking.
That was. He said I could.
That was my hand.
But yeah, I'm right now I'm a freelancer for Dynamite Entertainment.
Great.
And I'm
Dynamite.
Co-writing Xena Army of Darkness with Brandon Jerwa.
Cool.
Brandon and I are good buddies. We met at Dragon Con a few years back and hit it off really well.
Never been to that show.
Dragon Con is an awesome, awesome show. I recommend everyone has to do it at least once. That's it's like going to Disneyland.
That's more of a like fantasy and sci-fi convention.
There is a somewhat surreal type of atmosphere to it. Well, I was leading up to that, actually. But you take a whole bunch of nerds and geeks putting on their best costumes. It's like the prom meets Halloween meets
Lord of the Rings.
Well, meets
Dungeons and Dragons.
I was going to actually say something more along the lines of Caligula. You got all these people playing dress up and a lot of booze flowing everywhere.
Where is Dragon Con?
In Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
Okay. Hotlanta.
Braxton talks about going to that one.
That sounds like nightmare fuel. Like I might see something I can't unsee.
I've heard stories.
You will see stuff. Yes, you will see stuff. I can't get over the image of seeing Cinderella smoking outside.
That's not good.
But
Cinderella doing shots with, trying to think of food, Huckleberry Hound.
Snow White's body.
Snow White.
Jello shots.
Well, you'll see a lot of that. You'll see. I think I did shots with Cylon Centurion, a chick dressed like Cara Thrace.
Wait,
Starbuck.
New school or old school?
Old school.
Old school
Cylon. Yeah. Awesome.
That's yeah. Quite frankly, that's an easier costume to make.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then the entire cast of G.I. Joe. I mean, they were all dressed like the G.I. Joe action figures.
Did you trick Snake Eyes into talking?
Yeah, he was. He kept in character pretty good. He kept in character.
Well, no one is half the battle.
Yeah. I know, yeah. I don't know if I'd want to be doing shots with some guy who won't say a word the entire time. Just looking at me with those ninja eyes.
Oh, they gesture a lot. Yeah. A lot of gestures. You know.
Side language.
Imagine really? Snake Eyes pointing at you doing like a shot. Like,
poison!
Shots, or don't drink it. Shots.
But yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I went in actually, like a lot of folks, they get a little apprehensive about doing it. But you go, and it's really a lot of fun. Again, it's the atmosphere. There's sort of an openness about it. No one gets all full of themselves. Everyone's enjoying the day. And I'm telling you, if you can't find a friend at Dragon Con, you're never going to find a friend.
Oh.
So I highly recommend it.
If only I'd gone to Atlanta 5 years ago.
Really. Geek Mecca.
Geek Mecca. So yeah, but and then talking about finding friends, that's how Brandon and I met. No.
Wow, okay, that really...
I will say that Brandon...
Speaks a lot about your relationship with
really,
him.
Really, and I have to say, he's giving. Very giving.
Was anyone dressed as Xena while you were there? Was that like a moment of...
No, he's... Remember, he's the right G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a beachhead. You know, he has to... All that. So.
Did he write for DDP?
He wrote for Devil's Due.
Okay.
Right. He had a long run on G.I. Joe with Devil's Due. And did a couple miniseries with them.
That's why Mike knew the name so well.
Right.
Okay, Joe is over at IDW now.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
I'm looking forward to. But you're doing stuff at Dynamite, which Dynamite is another company that I think has really come a long way in the last couple of years. They're putting out some really good product. I think it's you want to call them probably a second tier publisher to a lot of people's the way that they envision the industry right now, but Dynamite's been doing some really
fair,
nice stuff.
Like 98% of the total amount of publishers would be second tier publishers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like about 10th tier. Yeah.
They're tiers? I thought there was just like a platform.
There's level 2, a really narrow staircase, and then everyone else on the ground.
In the water.
Yeah.
Well, moat.
The water's rising fast.
Maybe this isn't a really healthy way to look at the publishers, but I saw like Marvel and DC obviously, but then I love Image and Dark Horse, but IDW and Dynamite have really kind of nosed their way in there by getting some great talent and putting out some really quality books. Dynamite with The Boys, obviously.
Oh yeah,
Yeah. You know, is that's got to is that probably their flagship? Well, yeah, Superpowers. Yeah. But would you say The Boys is probably their flagship title right now?
Yeah, it's like their top one of their top sellers. Yeah, well, The Boys, and they have a lot of licensed properties.
They got like Lone Ranger, Ranger is awesome. Zorro. You know, sort of your genre books.
Then you throw the Battlestar Galactica in there, and then the Angel. Weren't they doing Angel? Or that's IDW.
And they also do the Battlefields book that Garth Ennis. War book. That's really good.
That is dynamite, isn't that? Mm-hmm. Which is probably one of my top new series this year. It's only two issues in, but they enjoyed it.
Staked out sort of a genre thing, you know, mm-hmm. like war books, your stereotypical Zorro book.
Well, I think though,
written by Matt Wagner. Yeah, that's no small shakes.
Going back to what Tom's talking about, I mean, those are great all ages books.
Yeah.
Zorro's a very well written, mature book. You can give that to your kids. There's nothing graphic or offensive.
You cannot give the Garth Ennis book to.
No, not the Garth Ennis. Here's
the boys. Where's that gerbil at?
Not yet.
Lone Ranger and.
Superpowers.
Yeah, it's another one that is. It's a great. They're just. You're right. They get top talent. They make good books. They try to give you your money's worth. Although I rant on a rant about again the cover price of certain books going up, and I also understand the.
I got really drunk this week on 11 o'clock comics and got a little angry about it. So I'm going to try and control
this
myself
this week. Okay.
Because
in a weird occurrence,
I can't get how one of the leading companies in the industry can just. I think they're gouging folks, honestly. Yeah. I was embarrassed because, you know, I went on a rant about the cover price of comics, and I thought $2.99 really is a breaking point for me. And Xena Army of Darkness is now at $3.49.
Wow. You're like, $3.49 is the breaking point.
No, not a penny over $3.50.
And I put this out on my column in Comics Waiting Room. If you read Xena Army of Darkness and you felt it wasn't worth the extra 50 cents, I will send you your 50 cents back. Wow. I would do that. So far, no one's.
But you didn't leave your address there.
No, I did. You could just email me and I'll
get in touch with me.
Send me your info and I'll.
How do you like that? How do you like working on licensed properties? I mean, there are Xena fans out there that if you screw up, they're going to let you know about it.
Yeah, and actually, we haven't heard a whole lot because either we're doing it really well or nobody's reading it. So I don't. No, I think as far as working on a licensed property, yes, I am very cognizant of. How fans of a particular property are
did you have
feel.
To go back and watch a lot of Xena Warrior Princess?
Well, I've watched a bit of Xena, and I mean, really, the honest
and
goodness
truth
is,
you.
Right?
Yeah.
It's with all due respect, it's really not that deep. So, yeah.
Really? No, really.
I mean, okay.
Because you're sitting there and trying to unlock the secret that really. Is what is going
why does
on
Xena
in Xena?
Fight?
Why? Do, yeah. Why does Xena do what she does?
It's basically, you know, Xena is kind of, she's Wonder Woman in a way. So you just basically, you treat her character with respect. What Brandon and I did too, especially with this series, is I felt with the first series that, while John Layman, who wrote the first series, incredibly funny and talented writer, I thought, you know, Xena didn't do enough in the first series. So I said, you know, we got to give Xena more action, more not just being the backseat driver, really. Doing some things, and that's what we did. Yes, I tried to watch a little more Xena to get the idea of what the dialogue was like.
That's a lot of Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock.
Pretty, which is great. I didn't have to Netflix it or anything. I go, you know, I need to do some research this weekend. Well, looky there. There it is.
Is it still on syndication?
Sure. Good luck swinging a dead cat on TV on a Saturday afternoon without hitting a Xena rerun. Oh,
but you know what was a harder one, and I kind of didn't expect it to be so challenging. It's writing Ash.
Really?
Ash from Army of Darkness, because there is a real, you know, he has a certain tone to the way he talks, and in the earlier drafts when I would sit and write Ash's, you know, snippets. Because after a while, you can only recycle his quips from the Evil Dead movie so many times.
Give Daddy some sugar.
Right, yeah. give me some sugar.
He doesn't, because he has a unique way of talking, but also it's not like those movies are filled with character development. Tons of dialogue.
Again,
why does Ash do what he does?
So you don't, so you have a hard time going, wow. I mean, there's one part where he just yells, yeah, baby, and in the movie it works.
Yeah.
But if you put it on a page, you're like, he sounds like, well, Johnny B.
No. Yeah, baby. What if I?
It sounds like a morning DJ. So,
well, yeah, you obviously watched the movies. I'm sure before you wrote it. But is there Army of Darkness has been in comics for quite a while now. Is there continuity? Is there, you know, I'll use a term I hate. Is there canon stuff in the comics that you really have to pay attention to?
In the Ashverse,
yes, exactly.
Well, actually, yeah. Dirty. What we were given when we were doing the Xena Army of Darkness series, we were given certain directives. Like I've read most all the Army of Darkness stuff that's already been done, and with Dynamite, I've read the also read the Army of Darkness series that Dark Horse put out years back. So we were told don't out and out contradict anything that's been already done.
Don't kill Xena. Shit.
Can I fax you tomorrow?
Yeah. I have a revision.
And to me, it's like the old, I especially have the attitude, you got to try to come up with something new to make it worth it. So I didn't want to step on any toes, and I didn't want to repeat any beats that had already been explored in the regular series. So as far as canon goes, I mean, within the series itself, just for the sake of being respectful of what other creators have done before, you know. Joe Rybant, our editor, he's incredibly supportive. He reads the scripts, he gives us notes back. Everything we submitted to him so far, he's never had really issues with. When the stuff goes to MGM, you know, they deal with it. You know, we haven't heard anything back yet. So far, I think we've been okay. Plus, we just want to try to be faithful to the spirit of the stories. And if we do that, then we don't get. Hopefully, I don't have a total, you know, Xena fan.
Xena would never do that.
Right, right.
Her disc is not that color.
Well, Tom, with you, you're kind of on the other side of things. You deal with completely your own creator owned.
That's right. Yep.
Properties. Whenever you're writing, do you edit your own stuff, or do you say, you know, do you ever have a question where it's like, is this a little too much, or do you just have a good feel for hitting, you know, kids comics or age appropriate comics, or do you ever have someone that's like, you know, this might be a little over the top, or this, you know, innuendo or whatever might.
Well, I write mostly for me, so I know what I like. And I do my own editing, but I do go to friends who are writers and say, could you take a look at this, make sure I'm not sounding too corny, or is this, like you said, not too over the top. You just want it right, and you don't want to feel dated also when you write. You don't want to throw in a joke that may be funny now, but...
You know. Sarah Palin joke.
Yeah. 2 years from now, it's like...
What's hoping a few years that has absolutely no resonance with anyone?
That storyline about the Budweiser frogs, big mistake. Yeah,
that didn't work as well. You know,
that one's going to be hot forever.
So, but being a small operation like myself, I have to do all my editing myself. But.
Do you look at a certain era of comics that you have a great affinity for and say, hey, this is the flavor of comic that I'm trying to recapture, or are you really more updating and just trying to keep the flavor of that kind of stuff?
Well, I look at the Silver Age because, you know, a lot of us started, well, I didn't start in the Silver Age, but those comics really spoke to me when I was a kid. I looked towards the Silver Age, I looked towards the like Wolfman, Teen Titans. That's when I really got started, around Crisis, the first Crisis in Teen Titans. And you look at Teen Titans, that is a great book because it like I said, it's an adult book, but and they dealt with stuff like sex and you know, the Hawk of Death and all this traitor. You got a traitor in their midst and betrayal, but a kid could read that. A 10-year-old, 11-year-old could pick it up and say, oh, it's, you know. Had humor in it.
And I think they even hold up pretty well. Yeah. I actually went back and read the Judas Contract not too long ago, and you can tell it's of that era, but they hold up pretty well. They're
the only thing I think a kid may not understand is why Donna Troy wants to marry some like middle-aged dude.
It was a beard. It was a beard and the orange fro. Yeah. The Ronald McDonald fro is working. So
okay, I mean, why does this guy?
Why is it so wrong for Donna Troy to want to marry a middle-aged dude? Okay, that's a hope that we all hold on to.
It works for Drew Peterson.
Yeah.
Oh. Too soon?
Too soon.
Yeah, don't write that into your comment.
He got engaged again.
Yeah.
Did he really?
23-year-old girl.
Is that national news? I never
read it. I think
maybe
it
is.
Is
it?
Maybe a bit.
Oh, well, yeah, I was on CNN, I think.
Until they find the body.
Plural.
Yeah, oh,
all right, back to all ages kids.
All right, back to the
Tom,
kids.
I had a question for you, Tom. Yeah. And I'm just curious because I find this is certainly the case for me. It's really easy to write poorly, but don't you find it?
Sure.
Don't you find it really easy to write bad dialogue for a comic?
Well, I study a lot of comics. I mean, every comic I get, I probably read about four times.
I was going to say, is that what you call it, studying?
It's really is a study. I read, you know, I read Johns, I read Simone, I read everybody, and I, you know, I try really hard to make characters sound like normal people, and it's easy to be cheesy. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
So I do find that sometimes you get into your thought process and you're writing dialogue and you have to stop back and a lot of times I just stop and I say it out loud, see how it sounds, and if it sounds like a, you know, cornball, it's gone. So I agree with you there, though. It's hard to, it's easy to write bad dialogue.
There's been enough of it written.
Yeah
Now, because that's like the one of the big issues I always have is writing dialogue, plotting visuals, when I actually try to get those characters to talk.
Who's your favorite dialogue writer in comics?
Oh wow, that's tough. I mean, I could fall back on the easy answer and say Alan Moore, because I think a lot of people forget that Alan Moore's British. When you listen to his characters talk, they sound so American, and it's really impressive. But Jeff Johns, really, he does. Considering how dense his books are, that guy's got a crowd in his brain when he sits down and writes all that dialogue.
Yeah. And it's not even just writing crisp dialogue. It's about capturing characters and being able to, you know, get different voices. Mm-hmm. And that's as I've really tried to, you know, kind of like Tom, to study comics. Not that I'm doing it because I'm ever going to write a comic, but, you know, try and be able to understand the craft a little bit more. That's something that really I get impressed with, is by capturing different voices, being able to write different kinds of dialogue for different characters.
It's also such a modern thing. Not that comics are such an old thing, but you look back at like Silver Age stuff, and not to disrespect people like Gardner Fox or like that, but a Gardner Fox comic is completely preoccupied with the puzzle and then solving the puzzle. The things people say, you could take all the word balloons and mix them around and attach them to different
any character.
It doesn't,
any other character.
It doesn't matter, because that wasn't, it's all about the puzzle. It's all about setting up the puzzle and having the characters figure out how to solve that puzzle, where nowadays, as you know, readers have become more sophisticated and a little bit older, and I think people are, it's just fiction for like kids and adults. I think kids even nowadays are a little bit more sophisticated.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you can't get away with having all the characters sound the same. And there are comics sometimes when you read them, I'm like, why is everyone
for sure
the same? Like, it doesn't seem like anyone's actually anybody in the comic. And this is, I think it's probably what impresses me with guys who are really good at it, like Alan Moore or Jeff Johns, is having people say stuff that sounds like a normal conversation while they're wearing ridiculous outfits. Doing ridiculous stuff at the same time, visually. Yeah. You're seeing like them do, or looking really like legitimately silly. I mean, outside the context of it being a comic book, but having them say something that isn't ridiculous, that you don't like laugh and go, why is this person, you know, why is this person doing that?
Yeah, I'm rereading Watchmen again and getting ready for the movie and all that. And I think there's even a Dr. Manhattan comment whenever it's like that next generation of of superheroes, and he's meeting them for the first time, and comments about this, you know, young group of people wearing these ridiculous costumes. And yeah, it's like, yeah, you kind of forget sometimes, you know, walking outside of that world. But you know, you look at a guy like Azzarello and trying to read 100 Bullets and get caught up before the finale of that, and just the different voices for all of those. If you've read that series, there are so many characters in that book, and each one of them has a very distinct voice to them. You know, it's something in team books that I really respect. It's it's not that McDuffie is writing the best JLA ever right now, but I do think that he has a great feel for developing different voices.
He's writing it really good, except it's just sort of become a. I'm gonna say something bad about the art. It's just become. Opportunity for ass shots for various female characters.
That last issue, like, the winged ass shots. The winged ass shot was not good.
The which one?
The winged ass. Just like the midair sex.
Let's conveniently have Black Canary sit in this chair backwards so we can get a nice ass shot. And it's like, oh, that's really good dialogue. And a gratuitous ass shot fit in there. And not to say that Ed Benes doesn't draw.
Really nice ass.
Really nice ass. It's just that every single woman has the same ass, and every single guy is ripped. And like, it's a little, it throws off the book a little bit, especially with someone like McDuffie, who's so good, I think, at giving different characters different things to say and do, that it all kind of looks, it kind of looks samey.
I'd like to see Bagley take over when he's done with Trinity and on JLA. He's done a great job with Trinity.
I like his JLA in Trinity.
He
nails those characters. Whenever you're writing a new character or trying to develop a new voice, is there a real world person that you kind of tie a character to sometimes?
Voice like, in your head, maybe.
Actually, most of my characters are aspects of me, in different places, or. They are.
This isn't anything that you need to take medication for, right?
I'm okay. I'm integrated now. No, it's you know, just the different ways I approach things, or you know, different aspects I said, or I take a character that I really, really like and copy it completely. No, I'm just
but take it, wholesale,
steal it. No, and just put a little twist on. Like my main character, Toy Boy, is basically a really pissed off Blue Beetle. And if you read the comic with that in mind, you can see it, but otherwise, you never see it.
Well, that's hard because you can't, like, say that at the beginning of the book. Yeah. It's like, think of this person as a really pissed off Blue Beetle. No, but good writers, and Moore might be the best at it, of, you know, you can think of this character, and it's just an alternate twist on them. So that's always
pretty
exciting.
Like Blue Beetle, but not richer with, like, stuff. Besides,
you don't have a bug? Come
on. No, I don't. I even have a car right now. Sort of homeless.
So besides the Xena and Ash, which that is on shelves now?
It's on shelves now. Issues 1 and 2 of Xena Army of Darkness are out. Issue number 3 should be coming out shortly.
Okay.
And my one shot, Army of Darkness, Montezuma's Revenge, will be out in January.
Now, are you wanting to stay in licensed properties? Is it just kind of something to do? Or do you have aspirations to write other books or your own stuff?
I'd like to do my own stuff. I mean, right now I'm just having a lot of fun doing the freelance stuff. I are my aspirations to do my own thing. There is really so much really good self-generated product out there right now. I think that sort of stuff deserves my support, and I don't want to go out there cluttering, you know, the market.
There's a lot of clutter.
Yeah, there's a lot of clutter.
I mean, we're lucky. There's a lot of really good comics out there right now.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, with the Red Eye and with the Geek to Me blog, I try to showcase some of that. As for what I do, you know, if someone wants me to let me play in their sandbox a bit, I won't mind and have a little fun with that.
Okay, cool. Now, where can we find the Geek to Me blog? Because most of our listeners are outside of the Chicagoland area, so they're not able to get a Red Eye. So where can they find you on the web?
All righty. You can go to redeyechicago.com/geektome. So that's where the Geek to Me blog is. Or if you just go to redeyechicago.com and click on the Voices banner, you will find my bio along with a list of all the columns I've written. Yeah. And you can also contact me via the Geek to Me blog, or if you just want to get in touch with me, always redeyegeek@gmail.com.
Yeah, I think there's even a video interview with a very fidgety Chris Niesman at the Windy City Comic Con.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to say about that.
Is he tweaking out? You kept backing up.
I would like put my mic in front of you, and you'd back up a step.
Is it like this?
Yeah, and
I'm not used to speaking in front of a microphone.
That was fine. And my camera person had to slowly move the camera. The background kept changing behind us. At one point, we had, I think, the Hancock right behind us, and it slowly moved out of the frame. Afterwards, I'm going, what, did I invade his personal space or something? I wasn't trying to like kiss you or anything.
No, yeah, and
I
guess hug your interviewer right before I.
That was like
afterwards. Afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards you can hug.
Yeah, that was like 4 o'clock on that Saturday, and I was pretty wigged.
You were geeked up. You had a lot going on too. So I appreciated you taking the time to talk about that.
He had
everything. Yeah. And that clipboard had stuff on it.
Yeah, it wasn't my clipboard.
I gotta say that was one of the best run conventions I've ever been to. So.
Hey, it was a lot of Sal, and, who's not here tonight, but we had fun with it. And next year, actually, I have to sit down with him this week and start planning next year. So cool. It's gonna happen again, and we just have to peg down our date and get everything reserved. So yeah, it's gonna be another fun year. We were talking about it. The biggest bummer for us is that we made a little con that we would have liked to have gone to as just fans and didn't really get to do it from that perspective. But yeah, next year should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we can have both of you guys.
I will be there for sure.
I might be there.
My daughter had a great time.
Did awesome. She
was running around as Hawk Girl.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that's a pretty sweet costume. I was going to ask her to explain Hawk Girl's continuity to me.
She'll tell you.
She's a resurrected spirit of an Egyptian princess.
Her lover. Cannonball.
All I know, Chris, damn it, I'm interviewing you again, and after the end of the interview, you're giving me some sugar. That's what you're doing.
All right. And I tell you, we'll put an X on the floor as a mark for me, and I won't
sit still.
Show me on the doll where he touched
it. Interviewed meth addicts who were calmer on camera.
Yeah, it was one of those days. All right, Tom, for you once more for Spinner Rack Comics, where can people find you on the web?
You can find me at spinnerrackcomics.com or honorbrigadecomic.com.
And for Unscrewed?
It's unscrewedcomic.com. It's kind of a theme.
.com.
Mike Norton's messing with you over there. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's wrap this puppy up. Before we do, I need to tell you a little bit about Witchblade, the anime series.
Tell me.
It is now available on DVD and digital download. It's based on the comic book series from Top Cow Productions. The anime series goes into the future to tell the tale of a new bearer of the Witchblade and the conspiracy that surrounds her burden. The 24-episode series box set features wraparound box art by Mark Silvestri. The box set includes 100 minutes of extra features, including All You Want to Know About Top Cow, with interviews and a tour. Witchblade is also available as a digital download, available on iTunes, a PS3, Xbox, and Amazon.com.
I should make a list of everything I want to know about Top Cow, watch it, and then see if it actually
if they're
does,
all answered.
If it does
what flavor coffee?
you could visit www.funimation.com/witchblade to view clips of the series and the box art. And that is a really fun anime series. It kind of mixes the whole anime thing and Witchblade. If you're a fan of the Witchblade comic, you should definitely check it out. But if you have never read Witchblade, it's a new adventure. Totally sets it up a new continuity. So don't feel like you have to have read all of the Witchblade comics to understand it. You can email the show at info@aroundcomics.com. We love hearing from folks. Here in a couple weeks, probably get back to some emails. We'll try and keep from the how would you fix DC emails, Tom.
I don't know. I just read comics. I have no answer. Does anyone just like comics anymore? Or
I do. I got all my venom out on 11 o'clock this week. I was angry, very angry. We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support, and essentials of life and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. And remember our end of year Hero Initiative drive here. We've got a bunch of stuff that we've set aside for a raffle that we're going to do the next time we record. Basically just make a $10 or more donation to Hero Initiative. You can do that right at the Around Comics homepage. There's a PayPal button that'll link you right to the Hero Initiative. And we've got Rich Kozlowski gave us signed copies of the King. We've got stuff from Funimation, the Afro Samurai Complete Deluxe Edition first season, the complete Witchblade series. Mike Norton, we're doing a silent auction for a Jerry Ordway inked page of Trinity that you can go to the Around Comics forum and check that out. It's silent auction, bid starting. It's a little over $100. Just send me your bid in for that, and we'll give that away and raffle it's off the rest of the stuff.
Quizno scene.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The Quizno scene.
Evil sandwiches.
I love those. iTunes music reviews. Yeah, right. Please drop by the iTunes music store and leave a review for the show. It's a great way to let other people know about the show. And do us a favor here over the holiday season. If you have a comic book reading friend that doesn't listen to the show, tell them about it and have them check it out. We would appreciate it. You can, as we've already said, drop by the AroundComics.com forum. It's the forum's been very active of late. So thanks everyone for posting. We got some nice Christmas presents. Bean Lynch sent some prints here. I've got some stuff that he sent in. I've got to take a look at.
You got a glass.
Jason Wood sent me the 10-cent plague.
Yeah. Did you read that?
I just got it from Amazon.
No, I mean, did you read it before? Because he asked me what. And
no.
Okay. I thought you didn't read it.
No, I haven't read it. And Dan Corbett, Papercut, sent me the Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba details.
Yeah, keep giving us things.
Yeah, you know, and that sounds terrible. No, I'm not asking to send me gifts.
Chris is not, but I am.
But I really wanted to, and these are really friends that have sent this stuff.
I don't care.
Stuff in.
Right, I'm
friends with benefits.
Yeah,
I never had to have met you.
Yeah, Mike Sims, KY KY Comic Guy on the forums here and at 11 o'clock.
Is that for Kentucky Comic Guy? Or...
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm hoping.
To Dragon Con, I guess.
He sent me a pint of Woodford Reserve.
Jesus.
Very, very
so
excited.
So to emphasize, Chris is not asking for gifts.
But Tom is.
I am asking.
You can check Tom out 2-3 times a week for Tom versus the Flash.
Yeah.
Look it up on iTunes. It is a great blow-by-blow walk through the history of Flash.
An idea for a contest, and so people should email me. I don't know what I'll give them.
And send them stuff.
And send me things. Always.
Always send Tom
always,
stuff.
Always send me stuff.
I'm on 11 o'clock comics once a week on Thursday or Friday when that comes out with Jason Wood and Vince B and David Price, where we talk about everything and anything that's on our minds. Check out the folks over at ifanboy.com. Here after the first of the year, I'm going to try and start getting back writing my Comic Shots article. It's been a little crazy at work.
I never want to hear you complain about a creator
being late
because you are like you are ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk of comics.
I am. Like... It's terrible. Dude, I've got a column that's been half written on Freak Angels for about a month.
David Lindelof over here can't finish his.
No shit. Yeah, but I'm not raising the price of the column to $3.99. So,
we're good in Hollywood.
Exactly. All right, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today, Elliot, Tom. It's been a pleasure having both of you here. You guys will be back next week. That's the one that we're going to record here in just a minute. And Tom, we're not going to hear from you for a little while. You'll be back mid January,
something like that.
Yeah, because you're gonna be out of town.
I'm going to an adult bowling party.
All right.
Well, it's a bowling party for adults, but I like to say adult It's an adult bowling party.
It's naked
in Detroit.
Yeah, so we'll see you. We'll see you after the first of the year. Then, which reminds me, everyone have a very safe and happy New Year. This actually comes out after Christmas, so I hope that everyone had a fantastic Christmas or Hanukkah or Festivus or whatever you observe.
Whatever you celebrate.
Whatever you observe. I hope your holiday season has been great. And please be safe. Don't drink and drive out there for New Year's. Drink and stay wherever you're going to be.
Drink by yourself at home.
In the dark.
Yeah. Reading comics alone. So thank you guys. Thank Mark Beatty here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. As always, we'll be back again on Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime...
Oh, in between time.
That's right, Sal's not here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable saying it, to be honest.
We'll be everywhere in and around comics. Expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.